So Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 13, we're going to start reading all the way through to 23. So first verse says in chapter 3, verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. He's talking about wisdom here. Length of days are in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so shall there be life unto thy soul, and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. So in the book of Proverbs here, he explains to us that God's wisdom is essential in our life. And if we follow our own wisdom or our own understanding of things and we don't listen to God, that we're just going to end up in a path of foolishness and destruction. And Solomon tells us here that if we can find wisdom and use it, that God says we can live a happy life and a life full of blessings where we're doing what's right and we're actually obeying God. So the question is, why do we need wisdom? Why do we need wisdom? Well, because as human beings, we were born without wisdom. We lack God's wisdom. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So we see that in this verse, God says that we're born with foolishness as a child. It's just something, we don't get taught how to be foolish. It's just something we struggle with. And in the book of Proverbs, Solomon tells us that if we find wisdom and apply it to our lives, that it can be a great blessing to us. So tonight, that's what I want to look at. I want to look at four blessings of obtaining or getting God's wisdom. Four blessings. But first, if we're going to know how wisdom can be a blessing to us, we must first understand what is wisdom and what is understanding. So, well, wisdom, a basic definition of wisdom is just a God-given ability to make right choices or to discern, the ability to discern what pleases God and what doesn't please God. And understanding is a little different. Understanding could be a comprehension. It's ability to see how things fit. It could be discernment between right and wrong, being spiritually bright, able to discern unspoken motives, to pair through a false front, to read between the lines. It's gaining a deeper awareness of what really makes people, what really moves people to do what they do. You know, it's getting that understanding. And the Bible actually says, in many ways, understanding is very similar to wisdom. We see in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 13, he says, in the lips of him that have understanding, wisdom is found. But the rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Proverbs 10:23 says, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding have wisdom. And Proverbs 14 verse 33 says, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that have understanding. It's very interesting. And then my second question is, how do we find God's wisdom? How do we find it? Well, true wisdom, we have to understand that true wisdom comes from God. It's not our wisdom, it's God's wisdom. Proverbs 2:6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And then the Bible also says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fearing God can give us wisdom. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And we can see that we can also get wisdom from the Bible. The Bible is a great source of wisdom. The book of Proverbs, especially, is full of God's wisdom. Now, if we're going to find wisdom, we need to seek for it diligently in the Bible and seek after it as if it's something we desperately need, because it is something we desperately need. And we need it for direction and protection and guidance in life. Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. So God's word can guide us, it can help us make the right choices, and it can give us wisdom. So And then another way is we can ask God for wisdom. That's probably the most obvious way, because the Lord's the one who gives wisdom. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him." So God wants to give us an abundance of wisdom. And God says if we ask for wisdom, he will give it to us, and he won't laugh at us for asking for it. He's not going to mock us and say, "Yeah, why do you need wisdom?" He wants to give us wisdom. So now that we hopefully understand what wisdom is and how to find it, I want us to look at our first blessing of getting God's wisdom, and that is that God's precious wisdom will make us happy. We see in verse 13 and 15, he starts off saying, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and a man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of his is better than silver, it's better than the gain of fine gold," and it's saying it's more precious than rubies and all the things we can desire, and not to be compared unto wisdom. So first of all, we see in verse 13, he starts off, "Happy is the man, happy is the man." Well, we first must understand, what does it mean to be happy according to the Bible? You know, we have our own view of happiness, but according to the Bible, well, the word happy can mean several things, but in this particular passage, he's not just talking about being joyful or cheerful or excited, but it's interpreted as being blessed or living a blessed life, full of God's blessings. And the happiness that Solomon is talking about here is not just a feeling of joy or gladness, although that can be part of it, but it's more like a continual blessing in our lives as we use God's wisdom. And then secondly, we see why will we be happy if we find wisdom? Why will we be happy? Well, wisdom in of itself doesn't make us happy. It doesn't, you know, wisdom, what can that do for us? But it's using wisdom, that God-given ability to make right choices that God says can lead to a happier life. You know, wisdom can keep us from sin. It can keep us from trouble. You know, wisdom enables us to understand things like the Bible, and also, you know, even difficult situations in life. And wisdom can also be a special skill or ability. And then notice what Solomon says about wisdom in verse 14 and 15. He says, "For the merchandise of it," he's talking about wisdom, he says, "For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain," or getting, "of gold," he says, "and the gain thereof than fine gold." He's talking about pure, precious gold. So, and then he also says in verse 15, "She," wisdom again, "is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her," wisdom. So Solomon is just basically saying that here it's more beneficial, it's more profitable, I suppose you can say, to have wisdom than to have silver. And it's more beneficial to find wisdom than to find pure gold. And also that wisdom is more precious than rubies. And most of us know what rubies are. They're like a precious stone. And Solomon's just saying that it's more precious than that. And you know, all these things mentioned here, these valuable things mentioned, you know, they're very valuable things. And being rich, Solomon, you know, Solomon's talking here, and he probably had lots of these things. I mean, Brother Sean mentioned this morning that Solomon, you know, he was extremely rich. He was one of the richest people that ever lived. So I'm sure he knew what he was talking about. And even he's saying that it's more profitable, it's more beneficial to have wisdom and to use it. And that must be saying something if he says that. We see in Proverbs chapter 8 in verse 10, Solomon, I believe, speaking here, and he says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than the choice gold." So Solomon's saying we should choose instruction and knowledge rather than silver or gold. We also see in Proverbs 8:19, the wisdom speaking here, and it says, "My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver." So the fruit, he's saying the fruit of wisdom, the, you know, what we're going to get from wisdom is better than gold. And the gain of wisdom is better than the gain of silver. And then also Proverbs 16:16 says, "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver?" So again, Solomon's just saying that wisdom is far better than those things. And then he continues in verse 15 that we read earlier. He says, "She's more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her." So we see, again, the word her, like I mentioned, is talking about wisdom. And Solomon was just saying that anything we can desire in life, you know, anything we can think of, no matter how great, and I think particularly he's talking about like riches and wealth, especially talking about that. He's just saying that we shouldn't compare it unto that. He said it's priceless and unique. It's something money cannot buy. You know, no amount of money, it doesn't matter how much money you have, it can't give us heavenly wisdom to make godly choices. It doesn't matter. In fact, you look out in the world today, some of the richest people are some of the foolishest people. They make some of the biggest mistakes that you possibly make in your life, and just destroys their life. So we see using God's wisdom will make us happy. Happy because of how wisdom can keep us from doing wrong. It can help us make the right choices. And it can also give us an ability or skill to do what God wants us to do. You know, it's very precious. And remember, Solomon was very rich. He basically had everything he could want in life, and yet he understood that to find wisdom, that God-given ability to make right choices, and using it is far more beneficial than to have any of those precious things. You know, only wisdom's the only thing that can make us truly happy in life. It doesn't matter how much silver or gold you have, it doesn't do us any good. And, you know, we need to seek after precious wisdom and not earthly materials that don't last. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord our God shall stand forever." And then we also see in Mark 8:36, "For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" So again, it's just saying that it doesn't matter how much we have, if we're not doing what God wants us to do, if we're not saved, it's useless. It doesn't do us any good at all. So just to go over our first blessing, God says that his precious wisdom is what will make us happy. Precious wisdom. If we find it and use it. You know, even if we have wisdom, Solomon had lots of wisdom, he didn't use it sometimes. Like you mentioned this morning, and it just ruined his life in many ways. So we have to use it. And that leads us to our second blessing of obtaining God's wisdom, and that is that God's wisdom will make us prosperous. Prosperous. So verse 16, 18, Solomon mentions four ways how wisdom can be prosperous. And I want to go over these 4 points quickly. He just mentions four ways how wisdom can make our life prosperous. And we see in the beginning of verse 16, Solomon tells us that wisdom can give us longer life. He says in verse 16, "Length of days are in her right hand." That's the first thing he starts off with, length of days. So he's talking about how precious it is, and now he talks about how it can lengthen our days. That's very interesting. So you may ask yourself when you read it, how can wisdom give us longer life? How can it do that? Well, first we must understand Solomon's not saying that if we find wisdom and get understanding, that we're going to live to be 300 years old. That's not at all what he's saying. I believe he's just saying that wisdom can just help us avoid dangers in life, especially in their day. Remember, in Solomon's day, they had lots of enemies. They had people trying to kill them and poison them. And, you know, using wisdom would have been a matter of life and death in their day. And I think in our day, that's not something we face as much in our lives, but I think we can still gain some principles from that. And we can see that wisdom, we can still use wisdom in our day-to-day lives to, you know, keep us from financial problems and stress. It can keep us from having bad friends that lead us astray. It can keep us from going to jail or taking drugs. You know, that's a big problem today. And going to jail is not very prosperous. It can also keep us from going bad places, from seeing and hearing things that aren't right. It can keep us from dangers and traps in life. You know, life's full of spiritual dangers as well, and physical dangers, and we need to be very, very careful. And then the second way wisdom is prosperous, not only will it give us longer life, but he says in the second bit of verse 16, that wisdom can give us riches and honor. We see in verse 16, "And in her left hand," he's talking about wisdom, "riches and honor." Now, again, although wisdom can help us financially, and it can bring us to honor, I believe that's not entirely what Solomon's talking about here. He's not saying, again, that if we find wisdom and get understanding, that the next day we're going to be rich and famous and everybody's going to know who we are. I don't believe that's what he's saying necessarily, although that can help us with that. But he's just saying that wisdom can help us make wise choices. It can it can make us spiritually rich, I suppose you could say. You know, it can bring many blessings into our lives that isn't necessarily physical wealth, but rather like joy and peace. You know, something that money cannot buy. It's something very precious. And we must also remember that true riches and honor of life is not silver, gold, or fame. It's wisdom and doing what God wants us to do. That's being truly rich. I don't know if you remember Matthew 6:19-21. I'll just read it here. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So it's true, God can give us riches and honor in life. He can do that. And wisdom in our jobs, in our families, in our finances, and everything. But, you know, I mean, look at Solomon. He had lots of wisdom, like we mentioned earlier, and he was very rich, yet he still says that life's not all about getting rich and famous. It's about doing God's will and using wisdom in our lives. You know, the Bible also tells us that wisdom can keep us from shame and poverty. We see in Proverbs 22:3, he says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil." He sees what's coming, and he hideth himself. But the simple are passed on and are punished. We also see in Proverbs 6, chapter 6, verse 6, a very familiar verse. It says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. With having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provide her meat in the summer, and gather her food in the harvest." And we must also just remember, we might not be rich and famous here on earth right now, but it will be, like what Pastor always says, it will be payday someday. Payday someday. And God will reward us for our faithfulness to Him if we are faithful. And He will meet our needs both now and in heaven. And then I want us to look at a third way wisdom can be prosperous, where He tells us in verse number 17, He says, "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." He's talking about wisdom as her. So He's saying wisdom is pleasant and peaceful. It's pleasant and peaceful. What is wisdom's way? I mentioned wisdom's way in the verse. What is wisdom's way? Well, it's following the ways of wisdom. It could also be using wisdom or allowing wisdom to be our guide through life. And He's saying wisdom's ways are pleasant. Now, the word pleasant there, if you don't understand what that's talking about, He's just talking about it's agreeableness. It's a delight. It could also be translated as splendor or even grace. You know, following wisdom's ways are pleasant because it helps us make the right choices in life. It keeps us from trouble and from making bad decisions that can ruin our lives. And then He talks about her paths. He talks about wisdom's paths are peace. Well, the word peace there could mean calm. It can mean gentle, quiet, restful, free from disturbance. It's basically the opposite of noisy or troublesome, loud, and unrestful. And then He says, wisdom's paths are peace. He says, He's basically saying, taking a road that avoids trouble and avoids problems, and instead taking a road that leads to peace and away from sin. I don't know if you remember the story of the man who built his house upon the sand and the man who built his house upon the rock. I mean, the person that built his house upon the rock, he had a much more restful time. His house didn't fall down. I'll quickly read that for you here. It's Matthew 7:24-27. He says, "Therefore, whosoever," I believe Jesus is talking here, and He's saying, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." So it's the same thing in our lives. You know, if we make the wrong decisions and we don't use wisdom, we're going to fall flat on our face, and wisdom's just going to be laughing at us, and we're just going to make a mess of things. So we have to get wisdom if we're going to do that. If we're going to live a road full of peace and prosperity, wisdom's what we need. And then we see our fourth point. Our fourth point, he goes on in verse 18. He says, wisdom is a tree of life. I'll read verse 18. He says, "Wisdom," or she, "is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her," or those who get wisdom. "And happy is everyone that retaineth her," or holds onto it. So it's like an example I thought of. It's like a fruit tree. You know, wisdom can sustain us. It can give us what we need to stay alive. You know, wisdom's fruit or its benefit can be beneficial to us. You know, the fruit of wisdom could include things like guidance. It can include protection, understanding, knowledge, even patience, faith, skill, and the list goes on and on and on. We see in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 10 to 13, he says, I believe Solomon's talking again, he says, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom, and have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she," talking about wisdom, "is thy life." So he's basically just saying that wisdom can protect us, it can guide us, and it can give us what we need to stay alive. It's beneficial to us, and it leads to roads of peace and to life, inevitably. We also see in Proverbs 19:8, again, Solomon, I believe, is talking, and he says, "He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good." We also see in Proverbs 4 and verse 8-9, wisdom's talking again, and he says, he's talking about wisdom, and he says, "Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When thou dost embrace her," wisdom, "she shall give to thy head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my saying, and the years of thy life shall be many." So Solomon's just saying that if we follow our own ways, if we follow our own wisdom and what we think is right, that we're going to reap the fruit of what we sow, basically. What I want us to quickly turn, if you can, just turn to Proverbs chapter 1, just one page, one or two pages back. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 24, and I'm going to read through to 33. So Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 24, he says, I'll read, "Because I have called," it's wisdom speaking here, I believe, and he's saying, "Because I have called, ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, which distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but shall not find me. For they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me," talking about wisdom, "shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." So we just see that he was talking about the fruit of our own way. So he's basically just saying we're going to reap what we sow. If we do our own way and we don't listen to what God has to say, that we're going to reap the fruit of that. That's basically what he's saying. So we saw that the first blessing of obtaining God's wisdom is that it will make us happy, because it's precious and what it can do for us. And the second reason is because it can be prosperous to us, and it can give us peace and prosperity and riches and honor in our life. And then that leads us to our third blessing of getting God's wisdom, and that is that God's wisdom is better than worldly wisdom. It's better than worldly wisdom. Now you might be asking, how does that a blessing to us? Well, I'll explain that in a little bit. But first, I just wanted to read verse 19, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19 through to 20, our chapter. And it says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew." So Solomon kind of changes what he was talking about here. He was talking about wisdom and how it can be a blessing to us and how great it is. And then he starts randomly talking almost about how God created the earth and starts talking about things like that. So we ask ourselves, why does Solomon start talking about creation? Well, from reading it, I believe he's just trying to show us that basically God's wisdom is better than our wisdom. And it was just, remember earlier in the verses, he was just talking about how, you know, if we follow our own way, it's going to lead to a path of foolishness. And he's trying to show us that God's wisdom is what we need. It's better. We also see, he also mentions that God created everything and that he's in control of everything. And he's all knowing and that God is more, has more wisdom than we could ever imagine. Now, unlike us, we're just human beings. We make mistakes and we don't have all the answers and we're not in control of everything. And we just have to accept that. We're just his created creatures, the sheep of his pasture. And then I want us to read verse 19 here. It says, the Lord by wisdom, notice the word wisdom, have founded or laid the foundations of the earth. He's saying by wisdom, he created the earth. So Solomon's just basically saying that the Lord, Jehovah, God, by wisdom created the earth. Jeremiah 32:17 says, Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth, by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. In the same chapter of Jeremiah in verse 27, he says, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And then we see in the second part of verse 19, he says, By understanding have he established the heavens. So that includes the universe, the galaxies, and the stars. So he's saying God, by understanding, created those things. And by his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. So he's basically just saying that God, by his understanding, he made the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and he lets the clouds drop down the dew that we see in the mornings. So he's basically just trying to show us God's greatness and how mighty God is and all the things he created for us. And then he's also just trying to show us that God is in control of all his creation. He has wisdom and power over everything. You know, some verses that talk about God's wisdom particularly is, I'll just read a few verses here. It's Job chapter 12 and verse 13. It says, With him, it's talking about God, is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Job 36:5 says, Behold, God is mighty and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. Psalm 104 verse 24 says, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Psalm 136 verse 5 says, To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. So he's saying by his wisdoms he made the heavens. Jeremiah, the second last one, Jeremiah 51 verse 15 says, He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom. And has stretched out the heaven by his understanding. And then our last one, a very familiar one, Psalm 19 verse 1 says, The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So he's saying God made all these things. So basically he's just saying that God's wisdom is better than our wisdom. You know, by his wisdom and understanding and knowledge, he created all things, and he's in control of all of it. You know, our wisdom, we might think we're wise, but our wisdom is just foolishness in the sight of God. What are we? We're nothing. You know, many times we think we're wise in life. You know, we think we have the answers to our problems. We think that our opinions are better and smarter than God's ways. You know, we might not say that. We never say that on the outside. But sometimes just we think that in our heart, or even just the ways we act through life. It's like we forget that God's in control of everything, and we start doubting him. We have to just understand that he's in control of all of it. He has all the wisdom. Although we don't understand it sometimes, he's always right. And we have to just remember that we didn't make ourselves. And we're not in control of ourselves. We're not in control of the universe. God is. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9 says, God's speaking here and he says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we see that God's not on our level. He's way past our level, and we need to just get his wisdom and his understanding. So that leads us to my question, how is this a blessing to us? How is God's wisdom that's better? How is that a blessing to us? Well, I believe the first blessing is that God offers to give us his wisdom. He can give us his wisdom. You know, God's wisdom is something we need. and that his wisdom is far more superior, and yet he offers it to us if we will seek after it and if we will ask him for it. You know, God, like I mentioned in the beginning, God wants to give us wisdom, but he doesn't force it on us. He's not going to push it on us and say, you need that. He leaves it up to us, and we have to act upon it. You know, we also need to humbly allow God to take control of our decisions in life and leave our burdens and problems with him. And just trust his word, because his word's right. Remember, he made the universe. His wisdom's always better. And then, something just to remember, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. You know, sometimes we don't have all the answers, but we should just leave it with the Lord, and that can be a great blessing to us and encouragement. And then, another way it can be a blessing to us is that we can trust God's wisdom. We can trust it. We can have confidence in it. You know, if God created everything, surely he knows what's best for our lives. And we see in Psalm 139, verse 1 to 4, says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. And there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. So we see God knows everything about us, and we can trust him. We can leave our burdens with him. And then we can also trust the Bible. You know, the Bible is God's word. We can trust that. We can have confidence in it. You know, again, if God says something in the Bible that he says is best for us, and, you know, many times we don't understand it or we don't like it, we need to just remember that God knows everything and that he's in control of all things. His wisdom far exceeds our wisdom. So we just need to remember that. So we see that the third blessing of obtaining God's wisdom is that it's better than our earthly wisdom. It's better than our wisdom. You know, God's wisdom and God's word is always right, and we can trust his wisdom and we can have confidence in it. And also because God is the creator of all things and because he's in control of all things, we can leave our burdens with him. We can trust him and know that he'll make the right choice because his wisdom's better than ours. So, and then that leads us finally to our last point that and probably I would say definitely the most important point is that obtaining or getting God's wisdom, not only will it bless us, but it will protect us. It will protect us. That's a big one. I think that's probably, if you look at the whole chapter, whole Proverbs, for example, that's mainly what it's trying to teach us. It's trying to prevent all these bad things from happening in our lives and help us make the right choices. So you ask yourselves, protect us from what? Well, basically anything that God says isn't right. It's pretty basic. You know, only wisdom can protect us from making foolish decisions, not money or fame. That doesn't help us at all. You know, Solomon, he was talking to his son here, and he says in verse 21 of our chapter, verse 21, he starts off, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. So we see the word them. He says, let not them. What's he talking about? Well, he's basically talking about what he mentioned in verse 13. He's talking about that wisdom and understanding. Although this time, in the same verse 21, he mentions wisdom and discretion. So he's basically just talking about wisdom in general. And he's saying, he says, let not them depart. He says, so the word, let not them depart. What's that talking about? Well, he's basically just saying, don't let wisdom and discretion, don't let it leave you. Hold fast to it and don't forget it. And then he mentions in the same verse, let not them depart from thine eyes. What's he talking about from thine eyes? It's not something you could see. But it's basically just talking, you know, again, it's not necessarily referring to something we're seeing, but it's more referring to what we're seeing in our lives, our way of life, you know, and the direction we're heading. And that includes everything in life, what we do, the things we say, the places we go, everything. And he's warning us. Solomon's warning us. He's warning his son, and he's saying, don't let wisdom and discretion depart from you. Don't let it leave you. Otherwise, you will go down the wrong path, and you will make a mess of your life. We all will. I know I have many times, because just for making a foolish decision that we could have used wisdom for. And we have to remember, it only takes one wrong decision, just one decision that can destroy our lives. Just one decision. It doesn't take 20 or 30, just one. It can destroy our lives. So we have to be very careful. And then he continues in verse 22, in verse 22, and he says, so shall they be life unto thy soul and grace unto thy neck. So in verse 22, he says, so shall they. Well, the word they, again, is referring to wisdom and discretion. And he's just saying, if we keep sound wisdom and discretion, if we keep it, it shall be life to thy soul and grace to thy neck. Now, the words life to thy soul and grace to thy neck, it's simply referring to basically what he mentioned earlier in the chapter about how the way of wisdom is precious, it's prosperous, it's peaceful, and it's pleasant. That's what he's basically saying. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. It's something that's going to help us be prosperous. You know, Solomon is saying how good wisdom is and how it can help us in life and by protecting us and keeping us from dangers and problems. And you know, it's almost when he mentions grace to thy neck, it's almost like, I think he's just basically trying to get the point across. It's like wearing a scarf around our neck. It's something we take with us everywhere. You know, it's usually something we keep close to us. We can see it all the time. And that's basically what he kind of means here. He's just saying, take wisdom and discretion with you everywhere. Keep it close to you, where you can see it and use it all the time, and it will protect you and help you in life and help you make the right choices and inevitably bless our lives. And then we get to verse 23, and this is probably the main verse I want to talk about here. Verse 23, he says, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. So basically, that's kind of why it's entitled God's Wisdom Will Protect Us, because he's basically saying if you get wisdom and if you keep it, it can protect you in life. So let me just get what I'm saying here. So then notice what he says here. He talks about thou shalt walk in thy way safely, in thy way. Well, he's basically saying as we're going through life's journey, as we're, you know, using, you know, wisdom and discretion will just help us walk in ways of peace and prosperity by helping us make wise choices that lead to life. And then he says, and thy foot shall not stumble. This is a key one. Again, he's talking about as we're going through life and when a situation or something comes up in our way and we have to make a decision, that he's just basically saying that, you know, we will have the wisdom and understanding to see the dangers ahead and to avoid it inevitably. You know, we can rather, if we see something, we can rather go around it, I suppose you can say, or go over it, but we don't walk into it like a trap. And it reminds me of Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3, where it says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. He sees ahead. He sees the evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. So he's saying the simple people, they don't see the danger ahead. They just walk straight into it and it makes a mess of their life. But he's saying if we have wisdom and understanding, it'll help us see those problems. We can see, okay, this situation's going to come up. If I make this choice, this is what's going to happen. And if I go that direction, that's what's going to happen. And then we base our decisions on that and what the outcome will be. We also see in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18 to 23, it's quite a long section here. He says, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto them, those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So we see we need God's wisdom. You know, if we're going to do what's right and live a life full of blessings and prosperity and spiritual sense many times, we need God's wisdom. So, you know, just something to mention here. Most of the book of Proverbs talks about wisdom. You know, basically the entire chapter 2 of Proverbs, the whole chapter literally just talks about how wisdom will preserve us, it will deliver us and protect us if we find it and if we hold fast to it. Ecclesiastes 7:12 says, for wisdom is a defense and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. So he's just saying how important it is. You know, again, sometimes we think we know the answers. You know, we think we're doing okay. We sometimes, usually most of the time in my case, we see things differently, although we've got to remember that God a lot of times sees things differently. You know, his wisdom is superior, and we need to just trust him and believe what he says and obey it. So just to go over the points I talked about tonight, hopefully you guys can remember it all, but I'll go over it quickly. We looked at four blessings of getting God's wisdom, four blessings. The first one was that God's precious wisdom will make us happy. We saw that it's precious because of what it can, what wisdom can do for us in our lives, and how it's more profitable than earthly possessions and wealth. It's more profitable. And no amount of riches and wealth will make us truly happy in life. It's only temporary, but wisdom, doing what God wants, is eternal. And he'll bless us for that. And then we saw the second blessing is that it's prosperous. It's prosperous in our life. You know, following wisdom's ways leads to a pleasant and peaceful life, away from dangers and making foolish decisions, and also leads to riches and honor in many aspects of the way, spiritually and a lot of times physically. And also, it's prosperous because it keeps us away from troubles and dangers and heartaches in life. And then we saw a third blessing is that it's better than earthly wisdom. God's wisdom is better than earthly wisdom. He says God created everything, and he's in control of all things, and he offers us his heavenly wisdom. And also that we can trust his wisdom. That's a blessing. We can trust his word, and we can rest upon it with confidence, knowing that God's always right. He's always right, and we can trust and rest upon him. And then we saw our last point is that wisdom is protecting. And I would definitely say, by far, that's probably the main benefit of using wisdom in our lives, is that it can protect us. It can keep us from making bad choices in life. You know, wisdom can keep us from destroying our lives of sin, and it can help us follow God's will and way. It can bless us. So just a verse I want to end on before I close here. It's a really great verse. Just one last verse is Psalm 90 verse 12 says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." That's a very important verse. We should number our days and realize we only have so long to get wisdom and understanding, and now's the time to get it. It's not later after we've already made a mistake. Now's the time to get God's wisdom. So we need to find wisdom and get understanding, but also remember that wisdom doesn't do us any good at all unless we apply it to our lives. That's a big one. Remember, Solomon had lots of wisdom, and he was one of the wisest people that ever lived. Yet many times he didn't use it, and it just made a mess of his life. And we see that all through the Bible, example after example, of people that, you know, they were wise, they were walking close to God, yet they still made a mistake. And it's because they weren't being wise, they weren't using wisdom. So, you know, just something I thought of just today, actually. It's like going through life without wisdom is like going across a freeway or road with a blindfold on. Eventually we're going to get hit, and we're just taking chances. And now is the time to open our eyes and use wisdom. So let's find wisdom and get understanding, apply it to our hearts and lives, and it will protect us and bless us. So I'll just pray now, and then we'll sing our song this evening.